So we're going to kind of put a little bit of a cap on what I've been presenting the last 3 weeks. And in this, we're going to change what book we're going to. We're going to go to Galatians this morning. And we're going to very much give a summary, or Paul does there in Romans 6 through 8. And if you ever noticed that, when you've read Romans and go read Galatians, there are some places in Galatians where Paul is putting everything together, and it's as though he was getting ready to write Romans. Of course, Galatians is written, it's estimated around AD 48 to 50, and so Romans is going to be a few years after that, I think around AD 54, if I recall correctly. Might be a little bit around maybe 56 even. But here is, you get the book of Galatians, and we get a lot of explanation here, and I hope this will encourage you with those who are struggling with sin and understanding and having compassion upon those who have temptations in their life. And if you're like me, there's sometimes things that you realize you have weaknesses. Everybody in here, we have weakness of the flesh, and we know that we have certain temptations and sin, whether it's anger or our tongue or it's lust or whatever it is. We know where our weaknesses are, and we know where we're going to be tempted at. And so we want to take encouragement from the Scriptures about that. But we also have those around us whom we love and we care for, who we see them doing the same thing over and over again, and we just, you know, encourage them, and you tell them, you know, you need to get to church, to be together in the body, to study the Word, and to pray. And while I'm thinking about that, it reminds me of what Jesus said. Remember when Jesus was in the garden in Mark chapter 14 and verse 38, He's talking to His disciples, and He tells them, as He's out there praying, He says to them, "You watch and you pray, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." The flesh is weak. And the reason the flesh is weak, we see, goes all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil represents God's law. It's to know God's law, right and wrong. And with that comes the weakness of the flesh. And we've seen that through the reading of the book of Romans. So if you don't remember those points, I'd encourage you specifically on that, go to Romans chapter 7. But Romans 6 through 8, great scripture, wonderful passages of encouragement that we need to continue to read and to study to encourage us and to help us. So this morning, we will go to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to be changing up my translations this morning. I've been using a lot of the ESV, but I really liked how the New King James read, so I'm going to be relying on New King James this morning if you're interested in that. But God gives Christian. He blesses us. He gives us all strength. He gives us what we need to live faithfully as we are led by the Holy Spirit. And we continue to see that through these scriptures. Paul doesn't give a metaphor for this. He didn't say, well, what I mean by the Holy Spirit is, or he doesn't take that out and say, what I mean is, as long as you're thinking on the Word of God. Now, thinking on the Word of God and fascinating our minds on the truth of God's Word, upon what the Bible says, is absolutely right. But we want to live by it. We want to encourage one another. We want to pray by it. We want to do everything in our life by the Scriptures and by the Bible and by God's Word. That is, by the wisdom that comes from His Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul says that he and the apostles have received the words that they teach from the Holy Spirit. That's where they've gotten the truth from, the wisdom from. God's Spirit, the way in which God is omnipresent in all places, is by His Spirit. And He dwells within every Christian who's been baptized in Jesus' name by His Holy Spirit. God is with you, and He gives you strength. And we need to rely upon the Holy Spirit. And all because you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you doesn't mean that you cannot sin, that you cannot be led away. When Christ had the Holy Spirit descend upon Him, He was led by the Spirit to be tempted in the wilderness, but He also came out sinless and full of the Holy Spirit. We can and will be tempted, even though the Holy Spirit dwells within us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, listen, your body is the Lord's. Your body was not met for its desires. Your body was met for the Lord and for God. And the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Therefore, live that way. Live a holy life. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit, He is called holy, because He is there to give us strength to live a holy, a pure, a godly life. That's what the Holy Spirit and what He gives us. And I thank God for that. I know we've gone through a series on the subject of the Holy Spirit, and you cannot get away from Him and the great blessings that we get from God through His Spirit. So this morning, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 6. That should say chapter 5. Excuse me. Go to Galatians chapter 5 and look with me in verses 16 through 26. We're going to go through 16 through 26. make make a few observations from the text, and make some application as well, and we'll wrap up for this morning, and we'll be edified by God's Word. So let's go to Galatians chapter 5, and start with me in verse 16 down to the end of the chapter. This is what we read. Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't accomplish it, you won't complete it, because if you do this, you walk by the Spirit. I feel like I need to add some context here, and if you just back up, you see what's going on here. He's telling these Christians, and when you read this, someone might think, the lust of the flesh, he's talking about sexual sin. No, we're going to fill that in a moment. If you back up in verses 13 through 15, he says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. You've been freed from the law. You're under the grace of Christ. Live in the grace of Christ." Not to go back to sin is essentially what he's saying. And he says, "But through love, serve one another." Now he's encouraging them. Because you have this liberty, serve one another. Love one another. Look at verse 14. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word," that is, in one statement, "even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's what the law of God teaches us. It's how to love others as we love ourselves. Verse 15, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." So here you've got something going on in these congregations, and even churches today where people can argue and they can divide churches and they can be contentious. And I thank God that we haven't had to see that or had to deal with that in the last 3 years. What a blessing that is. We want to continue that we continue as Christians to live in peace, live by God's Word. So that gives a little bit of context here, what he's talking about and how, you know, even Christians will war against one another when they're not walking by the Spirit. So again, verse 16, he says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Look at verse 17. "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit." It desires against the Spirit. The word for lust there is epithumia. It means intense heat. It's the same word for coveting. Okay? So he says here, "For the flesh covets against the Spirit. It lusts against the Spirit. It has desires against the Spirit." The ESV, and the reason why I chose this, the ESV says the desires of the flesh. But it's interesting there that the word desire is a verb. So I like that the New King James keeps that word as a verb instead of changing it around. So he says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. Well, if you're tempted in the flesh and you have weakness in the flesh, and every one of us do, we need the strength of the Holy Spirit to oppose the things and the temptations, the weaknesses of the flesh. Keep reading. "And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or what you want." So what it comes down to is either I can walk in the Spirit and be able to put to death the flesh, put to death those temptations and put them to an end, or I can ignore the Spirit and I can live in the flesh, and I'm going to have a chaotic life, a life in rebellion to God, one that is constantly ignoring God, and it's going to be disastrous. But he says this, again, if you're living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, it is opposed to the flesh, and you're going to have the strength to put those things to death. Look at verse 18. He says, "But you are led by the Spirit." He says, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not under the law's condemnation anymore. Now you just live by grace. You live by the Spirit. You live by the heart of Christ. You live by what is true, not to go back to sin, to simply do what is right and good because you're led by the Holy Spirit. Verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are evident." We've read this one before. Here's those works of the flesh. Again, which are adultery, to cheat on one's spouse, or to cheat on the, or to have an affair, sexual relationship with someone who is married. That is adultery. Or to divorce and remarry without the reason of fornication is also adultery. That's what Jesus says. Look at Matthew 19 and verse 9. And it says fornication. That's extramarital sexual relationship, sex outside of marriage. Uncleanness, probably referring to sexual uncleanness. And there's multiple forms of that. Lewdness, which would be immodesty and the way that people talk sexually that are wrong. All of these things are works of the flesh. Then he says idolatry, the worship of idols and false gods. There's a work of the flesh. Sorcery, from the Greek word pharmaia, probably refers to using hallucinogenic drugs and trying to tap into works of magic arts and so forth. All those are part of the flesh. He says hatred is a part of the flesh, a work of the flesh. Contentiousness and jealousies and outbursts of wrath. Those are all from the flesh. Selfish ambitions, dissensions causing divisions, heresies, those would be sectarianism of causing denominations and dividing people against one another. Those are of the flesh. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, which are wild parties, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I need to emphasize that as well. You do these things of the flesh, and you continue to live in them, and you don't live by the Holy Spirit, and you don't walk by the Holy Spirit, and you do these things, and you live in them, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I know we read that passage in Romans, where in Romans chapter 7 and verse 20, where Paul says, the thing that I don't want to do is what I do. And he says, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. But that's not an excuse. You can't just say, well, sin's living within me. It's not me that did it. I delight in God's law. And yet the Bible has told us, like we studied last week in Romans chapter 8, the scriptures have given us a way of escape, to live by the Holy Spirit, to live relying upon Him and upon His truth, being watchful and praying, because even though the Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. We must do these things. And everything that we read throughout the New Testament, we're going to constantly, every book almost in the New Testament talks about how to live in the Spirit. I want to encourage you, so we're reading through the New Testament, you'll be able to constantly see that and see that teaching if you're reading. Let's keep reading here to the end of the chapter, 22 to 26. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. I love this. Beautiful scripture. There's a cafe in Tallahassee, Alabama, where my sister lives. And we'll go to that cafe. I can't remember the exact name of it. It has a number in it. But we'll go and eat there. But on the wall, it says the fruit of the Spirit. And it lists them out. And that's a beautiful thing. It's great when you can go to places like that where they're not ashamed and they'll put the Bible and the scripture up there for everybody to see it. And the fruit of the Spirit is a wonderful thing. It's just showing the blessing here, that if you walk by the Spirit, these are the fruit that the Holy Spirit, what He produces within you. And what is it? Well, there's nine of them right here. Here's the fruit of the Spirit: love and joy and peace. A lot of you have that memorized. Long-suffering, that's endurance or patience. He says kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And a lot of people say, I know I got most of those and I'm doing good at it. I'm seeing the fruit of it, but I'm lacking self-control. And again, that ties in that if you walk in the Spirit, you're going to have these things. He says, against such there is no law. Now you're living by the Spirit. When you have these things, it's not about the law. It's simply about doing what is right and good and taking on the character of God. Look at verse 24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if you are of Christ, you crucify, you put to death, you take up your cross daily, you put that sin, the desires of the flesh, to the end. And so if you struggle with that, what are you going to do? What's the most obvious thing you're going to do? I'm going to wake up every morning, I'm going to begin with prayer and study and thinking about my Creator and realizing the things that I need to do that are right, that when others sin against me, how I need to respond with blessing. I'm going to have my mind and my heart in the right place. I'm going to lean upon my brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage me in doing that. So in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, what he's saying here, if you live in the Spirit, you live by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives you life, He's going to resurrect you on the last day, then there's no reason you shouldn't walk by the Spirit. Walk by Him. He gives you strength. He sets you free. He produces these wonderful fruits. You think about the fruits of the Spirit again, there's not one of them. And I can imagine anybody saying, you know, I don't really need that. I don't really want a life filled with love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't really need that. I don't really want that. I want that. I think that's wonderful. That's a blessing. And so when I read these things in the Bible, I want to walk by the Spirit. I want to be close to my brethren. I want to study the Bible. I want to pray. And I know that I need the encouragement from others, because I also know that my flesh is weak, and I also know that I'm going to be tempted by the things that I say and the things that I do. It's going to come. But I don't want to be separated from God. What am I going to do? I'm going to lean upon Him for my strength. And lastly, the last verse here, verse 26. Let us not become conceited. Don't become arrogant, provoking one another and envying one another. You think about those things. And you see probably some of those things that go on there and the struggles within the church. And if you were to get into any of those sins of the flesh, those works of the flesh there, and you were to bring them into the church, what devastation does it bring? We don't want it. We want to follow Christ. We want to walk in the Spirit. As a quick review, again, here's the observations that I see here from Galatians chapter 5. Those who walk by the Spirit will not accomplish those desires of the flesh. You're going to put it to death. You're going to crucify it. You're crucified to the world. That was our reading, our scripture reading this morning. Galatians 6 and verse 14, a thought fitting with everything that we're reading here. I could refer you to Galatians 2 and verse 20. Remember that? Where Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. I love that scripture. That passage there in Galatians 2:20, if you need a passage that encourages you every day, that's mine. You can borrow it. But Galatians 2:20 is amazing because I read it all the time and I quote it all the time and I think about it all the time. And I just wake up in the morning and I find strength, the strength from God and strength by His Holy Spirit in those passages and reminding me and directing my thoughts and my actions. Not that I'm just reading it. It's not a magic spell or anything like that. It has to be taken into the heart, lived and believed. Galatians 2 and verse 20 is that scripture. So again, what we've been reading here in Galatians 5 is that the flesh desires against the Spirit and the Spirit desires against the flesh. They're at war with one another. How can I have peace? How can I have victory? God has given it to us. We see this again, that one who's led by the Spirit or by the flesh or by the Spirit, they're going to do the things that they don't want to do. So you've got to choose. Your choice comes up front. I'm going to be filled with God's Spirit, with His way, with His words. I'm going to pray and be steadfast in the truth. And that way, I'm not going to do the things that I don't want to do in the flesh. The works of the flesh are evident, and those who do them, again, will not inherit the kingdom of God. The fruit of the Spirit consists of all good works produced by the Spirit for those who are faithful. Those are the things that we've read. And we see here that if you are of Christ, you're going to crucify, you're going to put to death the passions and desires of the flesh. And that is repeated throughout the Bible. And those who live by the Spirit walk by the Spirit. And we need to remember not to be prideful, not to envy, and not to war against one another. And by living by the Spirit, we know that. So God's given us freedom. He's given it to baptized believers to walk by the Spirit. Are you doing that? Would you say that most Christians, most believers today, most who are claiming to be Christians, are walking by the Spirit? I'd like to say that. I could say definitely some, but I can't say most. I'm very concerned about the state of the church and the churches of Christ. And anybody who claims to be Christian, when we examine ourselves, we should have compassion. We know what it's like to be tempted. We know the weaknesses of the flesh, and we know what we need to be strong. And what I want for those who I love and I care about, when I think about those, my friends and family, and some I see struggling, I pray to God. I pray and I say, God, help me to have the words to say the right thing to encourage them that they will seek you. You're the only way. And He is. One another thing that comes to my mind in looking at Galatians 5, it gives us a good summary of what we've been reading and studied in the past weeks from Romans, is that the application of this is not just for me and my weaknesses. It is to help others. And so I found it very fitting that Paul follows these words up with Galatians 6, verses 1 through 5. Listen to this. You've heard these passages before, but we have a responsibility as Christians to look out for one another, to encourage one another. And he says, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, if a person is overtaken in any trespass, any sin, you who are spiritual. Now, given the context here, what does he mean by spiritual? You who walk by the Spirit. That's what he means. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. You be gentle with them. You be compassionate upon them. You know what it's like. You have the same temptations. You have the same weaknesses. And if you see your brother and your sister in Christ who's been overtaken in a trespass, you have a responsibility to help and restore them and do it in gentleness. Considering yourself also, lest you be tempted. You're still weak in the flesh, and the only strength you have is by God's Spirit. He says, bear one another's burdens. Be there for one another. So fulfill the law of Christ, which is to love one another. He says, for if anyone thinks of himself to be something, there he gets back to this envying and this conceit that was going on among those in the Galatians. He says, if anyone thinks he's greater than anything or better than others, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work. Examine yourselves, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone. If you're going to boast of whatever you're able to accomplish, you boast to the Lord. He's the one who gives you the ability to do that. And you make sure that you stay humble. He says, and let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. So as we read this, and we've been reading through Romans, are you prepared? Do you have the ability to restore others? If you walk by the Spirit, you have that strength. And I hope that you will share it with others. There are people that you work with, that you're close with, the people in your family, your neighbors, and which you can pray with. And you can encourage. You can be there by their side. And when you struggle, do you go to your brothers and sisters? Do you ask for prayer? You should. We need that strength. Jesus asked for his disciples to pray again there in the garden while he was suffering and facing his own death. Are you prepared to restore those who are overtaken in sin? So whatever side you are on this, whether you're still struggling, trying to figure things out, and you need help, or that you are walking in the Spirit and you have the strength of God, everything that we've been studying, we look at throughout the New Testament, these same things are there to encourage us to help others. I want to look at a few more verses here, Galatians 6, 6 through 10, before we finish this morning. And I think these words are very encouraging, and they were for me, because I look at them and I think, that would be me. And I need to listen to God. And I need to listen to what's being revealed by the Holy Spirit to the Apostle Paul. Let's read these words here. Galatians 6, 6 through 8. It says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. We want to share with one another the good things that come about, especially when we are able to put to death sin and crucify it. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He says, you listen to this, and you take it in the mind that whatever you decide to do, whatever you sow, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh, and if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap of the Spirit. So he says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, decay, sin, devastation, separation from God. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Amen. You want to walk in the Spirit. You want to sow that which is of the Spirit within your heart, the Word of God, the truth. You want to sow it in those around you, and you're going to see good works. You're going to reap from it. And sometimes you might feel like this. Verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good. You ever felt weary? You ever think, I've done these things. Why is there no good? I'm just worn out. I'm exhausted. I'm burned out. I've said those words myself. Listen to what Paul says. He says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. You keep doing good. I know a lot of us in here, we've planted seed, and we've done the good, and we live by the Word of God, and we keep praying to see good from it. Be patient. Do not lose heart. What does God say? He says, you will reap. You're going to see the good, the blessings from it. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Do good to everybody, especially to those who are the household of God, especially to those who are Christians and of the church. Make sure that you constantly are doing good. You ever feel exhausted from doing good? I encourage you again, you will reap those blessings. That day will come. And encourage you as well, as we're thinking about these studies, that you think about how you can help others to walk in the Spirit. Every Christian's job, our opportunity, and what God has put before us, our mission, is to help others to come to Christ and to walk by the Spirit. I think it's very fitting this morning that we conclude for a passage for our invitation from the book of Galatians. Are you a child of God? And encourage you this morning, you can have the fruits of the Spirit and the blessings of God's Spirit. And when you are baptized, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we read passages like this in Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27. It tells us that we have the inheritance of God when we become children of God. And when are we children of God? He says here, for you are all sons of God. You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. It's by faith. It's because I believe. When does that come to its fulfillment? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. You've been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. And you received His blessings, and you'll have the blessing of eternal life. I encourage you this morning, if you haven't obeyed that gospel, do it. Confess your faith that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Put on Christ in baptism. You need prayers and encouragement, you have struggles, we want to help each other. We need to. Whatever your needs are this morning, we encourage you. You need to be baptized. You need prayers. Come now. Let's sing together.